Well, the Lord brought me to Acts. So we're going to the book of Acts this morning just for a brief visit. Say, Lord, I hear.
Lord, I hear.
Because my ears work.
Because my ears work.
Lord, I see.
Lord, I see.
Because my eyes see.
Because my eyes see.
And my heart does perceive.
And my heart does perceive.
That you're really talking to me.
That you're really talking to me.
One of the things that I find that most Christians do is they're constantly with a shopping list of the things that God needs to do for them. Anybody relate? Shopping list. Well, I'd like to take one thing off your shopping list. Just one thing. And that is, how is God going to save my house? How is he going to save all my children, grandchildren, brothers, sisters, cousins, aunts and uncles? And I guess we could call it a household, correct? Say, today.
Today.
God's going to show me. He's in the household business.
He's in the household business.
And it works.
And it works.
If I simply accept.
If I simply accept.
What he's got to say about it.
What he's got to say about it.
Amen?
Amen.
The verse that I want you to kind of keep in mind is Acts 16:31. And it's in the Amplified that he pressed in today. And we're going to be talking about believing what you've already received. Because if you keep crying out, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, my kids will never make it. My little ones will never make it. All you're doing is bawling your heads off waiting for what? Stupidity to take over. Because St. Paul is saying in verse 31, believe in and on the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, give yourself up to him. Oh, really? Give yourself up to him. Take yourself out of your own keeping. Take yourself out of your own keeping. And entrust yourself into his keeping blanket. Now, you didn't see the word blanket there. That's my version. Because you see, every one of us can really focus on his ability to do something once you take yourself out of the equation. The biggest worrywart is you. The most awesome, terrible sickness is selfishness. When I'm depending on me, I'm depending on a fool. I know that might be a little bit of an insult, but think about it. How much can you accomplish on your own? And what have you accomplished that has any value on your own? Especially after you become a believer. See, when I first became a believer, the Holy Spirit pressed me to get into the Word. He told me, stop depending on others for doing my homework. Darlene gave you an example this morning, and I teased all of you about using a blanket. But you know, it's not a tease. It really is a truth. Whether you're sitting in your bed with a blankie or in your favorite chair, wherever God presses you, just do it in obedience. Don't try to wake yourself up. Ask him to wake you up. Okay? If you're depending on yourself to wake yourself up, you're going to be grouchy, you're going to be moody, and then you're going to be depressed because it's going to be homework again, and I don't want to be in high school, and I don't want to be in grade school. How about being in his school? His school will give you what you need rather than what you think you need. So I'm going to give that back to you again. Say, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ.
That is, give myself up to him.
That is, give myself up to him.
Take myself out of my own keeping.
Take myself out of my own keeping.
And entrust myself into His keeping.
And entrust myself into His keeping.
And I will be saved.
And I will be saved.
And this applies to me.
And this applies to me.
And to my whole household.
And to my whole household.
Amen. Yeah. Cut and dry and to the point, right?
Yep.
See, how many felt pressure letting go when you give those words out? When you really believe what that word says, it's going to change your future, it's going to change your tonight, it's going to change your tomorrow. Because when you and I do all this worrying, which is really dumb, we're just going back into the circle of unbelief that we've walked in as religious folks. And religious folks are kind of boring. You know why? They're always talking about their trouble and what they ain't got and what they haven't received yet. Instead of declaring what they already have. And you know, I find that people want more and more to trust, but don't know how. And choosing to trust was my choice at one point. And when I did choose to trust, it changed my future. Amen. It was an active will of mine to just say, yes, Lord, because He told me loud and clear that I didn't trust Him, and I told Him I can't. I just don't have it in me to trust You. Because every time I've trusted You in my past, the answer was crushing or hopelessness that would come back into my heart. And I had all these experiences where I had trusted by choice, but I didn't know any better. I didn't know the Word. I didn't dig enough. Darlene did some digging, and now she found herself changing. And her opinion changed because she did some homework. And she didn't do it because somebody said, you gotta do this. She did it by revelation. The more she got to be relieving herself from the heaviness that was on her, by literally looking up something and doing some homework, changes happen on the inside. And I can truthfully say, when the Lord asked me to trust Him, I personally said right out loud, Lord, I don't and I can't. And He really said to me, well, why don't you choose to trust? Well, an active will I have. An act of my will I can activate. How many of you have a mouth? It talks, right? Okay, if you and I literally make the free will choice to trust Him with the family members, with the circumstances that are going on in their hearts, then He will do something if you get out of your own way. And that's what He said in this word. Okay? Take yourself out of your own keeping. Oh. Well, that might mean that I'm not going to have all my poor me list available. How many have a poor me list? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, you see, once you get His opinion about this, and you activate your free will, you're going to come out of that poor me list. And you're going to start declaring what you already have in Him. And I shared with you Ephesians chapter 1 last week. And if you can go over it, it's available to you to change it. Personalizing something that God's really working on you with, and your blankie to cover you up, take you out of hopelessness, and his revelation to you of how much he loves you will change your future. And it'll dramatically give you insight into what he wants done. 32. And they declared the word of the Lord, that is the doctrine concerning the attainment through Christ of eternal salvation in the kingdom of God to him and to all who were in his house. And to all who were in his house. Now I want you to skip down to verse 37. Paul and Barnabas had been beaten. But now the jailer, he stops him from trying to kill himself. And they're baptized and their household is changed. Okay, that's verse 33. But 37 says, Paul answered them, they have beaten us openly and publicly without a trial. And uncondemned men who are Roman citizens and have thrown us into prison. And do they who now thrust us out secretly? No, indeed. Let them come here themselves and conduct us out of jail. The police reported this message to the magistrate, and they were frightened when they heard that the prisoners were Roman citizens. Well, you're heavenly citizens, aren't you? Amen. If you belong to heaven, then you're already out of jail. Are there not angels that are guarding over you?
Superior angels.
Ah, okay. 39, so they came themselves and striving to appease them by entreaty apologized to them, and they brought them out and asked them to leave the city. So Paul and Silas left the prison and went to Lydia's house. And when they had seen the brethren, they warned and urged and counseled and encouraged them and departed. Now there's a lot more in that chapter. But after you've heard this word today and you start worrying about somebody in your family that's falling apart, it just might be God's way of getting a hold of them. I had an individual call me this week and everything happened upside down. Everything. And when I got done listening to all of their list of hopeless situations, that one after the other after the other, I said, James chapter 1 is the only answer that I have for you. Give thanks in all circumstances. When everything is falling apart, rejoice. That's my version, by the way. Because God is working something out in them that they will reach out to him. That's the hope of trials and difficulties. That's the purpose of heaven is. That's the purpose of a test. And this individual said to me, oh, but you don't understand, and you're panicking and so on and so forth. And I said, whoa, 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 whoa. Peter had a problem. He didn't like suffering. I don't either. But you know what? St. Peter was the answer to my problem when I was watching my dad falling apart and losing control and his body deteriorating. And I was angry. Didn't want my father to suffer. Thought he had suffered enough. Any judgment there? Yeah, I was angry. I didn't want to let him go. But the Lord had already made it clear that he had given him the time that he needed and he was to depart. But Kim wanted to control. I didn't have a blankie that day. I wasn't interested in what his opinion was. I had my emotions to deal with.
Yep.
Okay? So, I cried out to the Lord, why? And he brought me to 1 Peter, and I read it, and of course it talked about suffering, and it talked about preparing you to take you home. And I, oh my God, I did not like that news. I really didn't. We had quite a few talks about it, and he won every round. He did. So, my comment to this individual who's having all kinds of issues, I said, do you think you're going to live your life without any difficulties and trials of many kinds? Then James and Peter shouldn't have been in your future. But since you are a believer, let me remind you that you're in for some journeys that are going to be tough. And some corners that are not going to be comfortable. And like the jailer, you might want to kill yourself. And St. Paul is saying, don't you dare do that. You can be saved. All you got to do is accept Jesus and take him into your heart and go forward. And so, as the conversation continued, this person said, well, you know, this suffering that I'm in, because they just had some surgery and it was a major issue and blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, I've been there. And you know what? God doesn't have a problem when you're suffering to talk to you in the midst of your trial. Well, that wasn't exactly what they wanted to hear. And then the Lord gave me a vision. While I'm speaking to this person, and the vision was of me and Gabriella harvesting the potatoes that her and I had planted several months before. So I go into this whole conversation with this woman, who's, by the way, not done the surgery. It's recovery time, and there's some still a lot of pain, etc., and a lot of headaches and torment that are going on. So I gave her the whole story about me and Gabby cutting up some rotting potatoes, putting them into the ground in the spring. And then, of course, how she expected to have something happening because she was accustomed to the tomato plants. So she wanted to see something above ground that was going to show up like she did with the tomatoes. So she said, the flowers are there, Pep, but there's no baby tomatoes. I said, no, these are potatoes. They're related, but they're not the same. Long story short, explained all these things to her over the summer months, and every time we would water them and wait for what it needed to be coming. Obviously, the biggest disappointment for her was when the plants got frozen and they all withered and we still had nothing to eat. And I had not told her that they were growing underneath. You know why? Because that's what's happening with you. I says, there's a lot of dirt right on top of you. Your inner man is inside and there's nothing happening on the outside except you're seeing yourself getting older. You're withering. And maybe a little frostbite here and there. It's not the end of the world. Because underneath, inside that dirt, is your inner man, the real person. And I says, I can still see Gabby reaching under the dirt with me, pulling out those potatoes, the happiest probably 4-year-old than I had ever seen in my life, because I had never had time to do that with my actual boys. They probably did it with their grandfather because he's the one that was the gardener at that time and I was out there working. But when my granddaughter came, or great-granddaughter, I had time. And each potato that she pulled out full of dirt, she would just kind of, you know, brush off the dirt. And I said, I truly believe that that's what Jesus is doing with your inner man. He's just brushing off the dirt, and he's going to let you see that you can rise above this mess once you start trusting in him instead of trusting in yourself. So, you see, something that happened probably about 8 years ago. And the joy of bringing in those potatoes and putting them in the sink and washing them. And of course, we did not make, we made sure we kept the peels on them, you know, washed them real good with a brush. And then we cooked them and ate them. And I wish you could have obviously seen her face when we were eating those brand new potatoes. It's harvest time right now. It's harvest time right now. And that's what I told this person. I said, right now, God is preparing you, and everybody around you looks at you like you are wilted, and there's no harvest available from you. But I'm telling you that the wind of the Lord is going to come and blow the dirt away, and when they see the real you, the inner man, coming alive, you will see that the purposes of God are right on time. The concern fell away. We prayed. We interceded for those that were in her list of expectations that they should do for her. We prayed for them. And there was a little bit of weeping going on. And at the end of our conversation, the comment was, I feel like I lost 1,000 pounds. My shoulders are free. I don't have any pain. I feel different. I'm grateful. Thank you for calling. Thank you that we could take time and understand that Christians are like potatoes. Their fruit grow on the inside. Believe in and on the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, give yourself up to Him. Take yourself out of your own keeping and entrust yourself to His keeping, and you will be saved. And this applies both to you and your household as well. Say, I'm all done worrying?
All done worrying.
At least for this morning.
At least for this morning.
And Holy Spirit.
And Holy Spirit.
Keep this message.
Keep this message.
Alive in me every time I worry for nothing.
Alive in me every time I worry.
Bring it back to life.
Bring it back to life.
So that I can rehearse.
So I can rehearse.
That I am.
That I am.
Similar.
Similar.
To the potatoes. I'm underground right now. There might be a lot of dirt on me. But when God gets done, the fruit will be hidden no more. Hallelujah. Blessings to you. Blessings to all of you. Get a hug from Linda, of course. And know that we love you.